To invite you to stand, because we are meant, we are sinners in need of a Savior, and we begin our service with that confession. And so we begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved of God, St. Paul reminds us in Romans 3:23 that we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are to approach God's throne of grace with confidence, confessing our sins to him. We confess to him first in the silence of our hearts. Now we confess our sins as a community of faith. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Hear the good news of God's mercy. St. Mark proclaims, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Because Jesus Christ has carried your sin to the cross and is risen from the dead, your failure is not greater than his grace. And so in the name of Jesus Christ and by his authority, I announce to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We join together in our opening song. Let's pray the prayer of the day together, please. We pray, Lord our God, you are one, and we strive to love you with all our heart, soul, and mind and strength. Help us to love you and to love our neighbor as ourselves. For this is your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I invite you to be seated and invite the children to come up.
In these important verses, our Lord Jesus summarizes the entire law of God in two great commandments, revealing both God's perfect will for our lives and our need for his saving grace. Today's reading is from Mark chapter 12, beginning at verse 28. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that, he answered them well. Ask him, which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus answered, the most important is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourselves. There is no other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said to him, You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and there is no other besides him. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the standing, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, You are not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Good morning. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm back from vacation, and that is amazing. We're home in Texas, and that's great. And we went to Virginia Beach, which is a very beautiful and very special place. There are dolphins and pelicans, dunes, breathtaking sunrises. And if the gospel text would have allowed it, I could have preached a wonderful creation sermon on that. But today takes us into a different direction. This beach vacation was special for another reason. So my wife Christy's family has been going there for 40 long years, starting with her grandparents. And over the decades, the family has grown and grown, and now more than 30 people gather there every year, ranging in age from newborns to 94-year-olds. And I've gone a couple of times before, and it's always been awesome, but this time, something was different. It was my first time there as a pastor. And interestingly, that changed the dynamic somewhat. People asked me to pray for them, which is great. And they asked whether I would lead a morning Bible study, which is also great. And very frequently, people came to me with deep and fascinating questions. Some were the kind of questions that pastors hear all the time from people, you know, that want to grow in their faith, that have questions, that's normal. But some were rather unusual. So one person asked me, let's assume there are aliens. Did Jesus also die for aliens? Now, that's not the kind of question that they prepare you for in seminary. But others were much deeper than that. Especially the broad questions. And those were sometimes the hardest. Questions like, what would you say to someone who isn't a Christian, but who wants to talk about God? Well, that's a wide open field. And I found myself wrestling with how to give a faithful, simple answer that wasn't just for that one particular situation, you know? And that is where our gospel reading for today comes in. Because Jesus finds himself in a very similar situation. He is asked a very broad theological question. What commandment is the most important of all? I mean, these are God's commandments. They're all important, right? And he could answer that in countless different ways. But Jesus would not be Jesus if he did not give the perfect answer. And in doing so, he also shows us the perfect way of answering broad theological questions. So this is what he says, just a reminder. The most important commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. Now you might say, but Pastor Tobias, that is a very specific answer to a very broad question. And you would be absolutely right. But as we have been working our way through Mark in these last couple of months, we've emphasized again and again what a brilliant communicator Mark is. He wastes no words. Every story has many, many layers of meaning. And so does this one. Actually, perhaps I should say God is the brilliant communicator, because these are, after all, his words. So what if I told you that what looks like a very specific answer is actually one of the greatest summaries of Scripture ever spoken? So we know from Matthew and his gospel that Jesus adds another sentence after this. He says, on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. All the law and the prophets? Now that is almost the entire Old Testament. That is most of the scripture available in Jesus' days. And how can all of that depend on just these two commandments? Well, sisters and brothers, here's what Jesus, the master teacher, is actually doing. He is summarizing the Ten Commandments. If you remember the Ten Commandments, you may remember that they were written on two tablets. Not because there were five commandments on one and five on the other, and that's just a nice symmetry. No, they fall into two great categories. The first table teaches us our relationship with God. So first table is, you shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord. And remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. These commandments, and the first commandment especially, they govern our love for the Lord. That's table one. And they can all be summarized in Jesus' words. The Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is the summary of tablet one. Bam. The second tablet teaches us our relationship with each other. Honor your mother and father. It's about us. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not covet. All of this is about how we are in relationship. And that can be summarized by one sentence. What is that sentence? Well, let's read it together. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, right? So these answers of Jesus, they're just astonishing. They're so simple. And yet, they are so profound. There's so much in them. How can anyone hear this wisdom and not marvel? How can anyone doubt that these are truly the words of God? But brothers and sisters, there's something that's often overlooked here. We delight in Jesus' wisdom, right? That's amazing. We admire his answer. It's a good answer to a very wide question. It's perfect. We stand on his side. This is our man who's giving the good argument here. We're on his side. We feel victorious with him, right? That's our Savior talking. Woo! But we forget something. Jesus has just summarized the entire law of God into two commandments. Two commandments that no believer would ever argue against, right? Those are good commandments. Can't say you're a Christian and say those are not good commandments. But we often forget what the law is actually for. Certainly, it does guide us, you know, gives us a frame for our lives. It teaches us how Christians ought to live in grateful response to Christ's sacrifice. But Martin Luther rediscovered something through his own painful struggle to keep God's law perfectly. There's one thing that the law always does. Its primary work is this. The law always accuses. Always accuses because we cannot keep it. It's basically showing us how we always fall short. So notice what Jesus does not say. He does not say, you're now in the kingdom, you've gotten those commandments. No, he says, you're not far from the kingdom because you understand them. The scribe understood the law. He admired Jesus' wisdom. But understanding the law and seeing that it's a good law does not let you enter the kingdom. We are simply too broken. And we confess this every single Sunday, if you're aware of that or not. And I hope we actually listen to these words because they are among the few things we say during the week that are actually completely honest. This is what we confess. And let's do it together. Again, if you can read it, maybe you have it in mind. It's also in your bulletins. We are in bondage to sin. Join me. And cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. There it is. Have you ever connected those words with today's gospel? Have you ever realized that every single Sunday we publicly confess breaking exactly those two great commandments, the greatest commandments according to Jesus? We've not loved you, Lord. We've not loved our neighbor. Isn't that the perfect description of the human condition? We celebrate Jesus' wisdom in the gospel. Yay, good answer, Jesus. That is amazing. We're with you. And in the very same service, we admit that we fail to live according to it. We truly are, as Luther said, simultaneously sinners and saints. What a mess! But brothers and sisters, there's always hope. And that's what we come here for, right? Every Sunday, because there's hope. And that hope comes to us every week. And the very same confession that accuses us with the law. Because how do we continue? So let's say it together again. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. That is another one of those incredibly loaded sentences. Why should God have mercy on us for the sake of his Son? After all, humanity rejected him, right? We mocked him, nailed him to a cross. If anything, you would think that would earn us God's wrath, and it certainly did. But it didn't fall upon us. It fell upon his Son as one of us. The wrath that should have been ours was poured out upon Jesus. The judgment that belonged to us became his. The one who loved God perfectly with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength stood in the place of those who never have. The one who loved his neighbor perfectly, even praying for those who crucified him, died for neighbors who could barely love one another. On the cross, Jesus fulfilled the very commandments that condemn us. And then he bore the punishment for every time we have broken these commandments. And that is why we pray for the sake of your Son, Lord. Because there's no other reason, there's no other hope, no other salvation. Not because we have loved enough do we pray. Not because we have obeyed enough. Not because we've improved enough. But because Christ has done enough. Indeed, he has done everything. And that is the gospel. That is the good news today. That is why Jesus came. Not merely to teach us the greatest commandments so that we can keep them. No. But for him to fulfill them for us, to die for us, and to raise us into that new life where through his Holy Spirit, we actually can begin to love God and our neighbors, not in order to be saved. That's already done. That's been achieved. But because we already are saved and in grateful response to that. And it is through this unbelievable grace and mercy of God that I, a sinner in my own right, I can stand in the middle of my family on a beach far, far away and speak the gospel into their lives. I know I'm nowhere near the communicator that my Lord Jesus was, or nor the inspired evangelists who recorded the words, but I do have their words. They have stood where I stand. I have this wisdom right here, and they have answered the questions that people still ask, so that we can use these words to answer the same questions. And through them, God Himself still speaks. God's ways are truly astonishing, because if they were not, we would all be lost. Amen. Amen. Let us sing our next song.
Together in our offering prayer. Merciful Father, we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Receive them for the sake of him who offered himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We join together in proclaiming our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's join together in prayer. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Lord God, we are grateful that we are your church and that you have called us to love you with all that we are and to extend that love to neighbors and to all the world. We thank you and praise you for the work of so many people on behalf of neighbors. Whether it be a next-door neighbor day in and day out, or people that come from afar to serve in floods or after other disasters, or simply those who reach out anonymously with love. Lord, grant us the strength of your Holy Spirit as we seek to follow your commandments, and forgive us, Lord, through your Son, Jesus Christ, whenever we fail. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we are your disciples, and you have called us to serve. For this, our home, we ask you to make us faithful witnesses of your great love and unfailing mercy. We pray especially for those affected by those floods. Grant healing and recovery to all who have suffered loss. Comfort those who mourn, and give strength and perseverance to all who are helping to rebuild and restore. And Lord God, we pray for peace in this troubled world. Peace within our homes, peace within our communities, within our state, within our nation, and throughout this world. You say, Lord God, blessed are the peacemakers. Help us and all leaders to work toward good and just peace. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you are the great physician, and we are so very aware of how fragile our bodies and minds are. We need you, Lord God, to sustain us and to keep us steadfast in faith. We pray especially for our sisters and brothers who are suffering in body, mind, or spirit, and who stand in need of your special care, especially Linda Grona, Marianne Krieger, Emma Hirschfield, Alice Behrens, and Christy Wendt. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, there's so much that remains unsaid, and that so much is upon our hearts. And so now we place into words what our Lord has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, children of God, as you go on your way, may God go with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We join together in our concluding song. I'd love to tell the story. If you mean it, tell it. So, hey, as we prepare to head out into that very hurting mission field of the world, we are called to tell that wonderful story. I do want to mention, as you're reading through the Gospel of Mark, in fact, we still have some guides back there. I know we're coming up on the end. We go all the way through the end of August. But you're still welcome to pick one up if you lost yours or just didn't get one. I wanted to mention a couple things about that. So you'll notice coming up in the next few weeks. Now, this next week, we'll go through chapters 13 and 14. Next week, we're going to be talking about the end times. So Mark 13, it really, you've read a little bit about it already this week, if you're following. And then next week, I won't say we finish it up, but we definitely address some more about that. But you'll notice that as we get a little further into August, that you're going to be reading, we're going to go back and read big old sections of Mark, because you get a whole different flow when you read it all together instead of just a few verses a day. And breakfast bar, hot and ready down there for you, down the fellowship hall. We'd invite everyone to come down for that. And we do have a prayer minister. Kathy will be up here at the altar rail if you have anything on your heart that you'd like to share. But now, children of God, this time of worship is now ended. And the service begins. We leave to live out God's call to save the lost and strengthen the saved. May we go to be and make disciples, blessing and teaching in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And remember, he is with you always, even to the end of time. Amen.